Blog Talk Radio.
Segue with music. I do apologize. Well, welcome to the Sunday show here on Here Be Monsters. This Sunday marks two things pointedly. The first thing it will mark is what the show is about today, the anniversary of the blog, the group, the writing, the alternative media, the voices that sponsor the Sunday show here, and that would be Roundtree7, the number 7.com. That is our home port, if you will, and the ideals and the all of the information that goes back and forth from there is pretty much the ideal and information that we'd like to reflect here on the Sunday show. And for how long now? I think a couple of years. It's been myself and our good friend who is also a part of the Roundtree masthead, Jack Jodell, who writes the Saturday Afternoon Post blog with WordPress online. Who has been doing it? Jack, how long have you been posting now?
Oh, I've been posting, let's see, I think it's going on 5 years. And I think you and I have been together on online radio here for, I'm thinking, at least three, maybe three and a half, I'm not sure. But it's been fun. It's been great. And it's we've gone from one topic to another, and it's been very enjoyable. And if I may plug Roundtree 7, for those who have never visited there, make sure you do as soon as this show is over, because you're going to be amazed by the diversity and the talent and the incredible insight of a lot of the writing that you see there. It's a very good site and highly recommended to everybody. So make sure you make it a point to go there, if not right away, real soon, because you won't be disappointed, guaranteed.
Along with Jack now, Jack and I have been doing this Sunday show, and Jack provides this wonderful polarity, if you will, to my, you know, screaming, bitching, radical, left-leaning, you know, mad at the whole goddamn thing going on kind of rants that I can get into. He provides this wonderful, progressive, keep-moving-forward attitude, but he doesn't ever give in to the bullshit, and that's one of the most wonderful things about it. But he still keeps anchoring us to this is what we have to work with. We've got to find the ways to achieve our purposes without tearing down the whole damn building. And it's a wonderful polarity, a wonderful balance to have. And adding to that going forward, we're going to be joined by a gentleman who's been with us quite a bit lately. His name is Wayne Johnson. He's been known for a long time, been around with the whole blog crowd as long as the Engineer of Knowledge, and he posts in other places. His name is Wayne Johnson, and he's actually, I guess, Wayne, you would call yourself a conservative, and you're a Republican, aren't you?
Well, yes, the family has a legacy of 150 years belonging to the Republican Party. I consider myself a moderate versus a conservative, especially with the definition of what conservative is today. This is just mind-boggling. I can't. My parents would be highly ashamed, and grandparents.
You're definitely not a Tea Party guy. There's no doubt about that.
No, and hell no.
So among these gentlemen, going forward, we're going to be presenting you, always sponsored by Roundtree 7. And Roundtree 7, also, I have the captain of the helm over there on the line right now, and I'd like to introduce him. His name is David Williams. David, he's the one who guides the ship over there. David, you with us?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And congratulations, really, to all of us for being part of a voice, of voices collectively that are reaching towards bringing the truth to people as we can define it, as best we can duly, diligently define it for folks, that says, you know, enough is enough. Let's get informed and educated and start making choices towards leadership that, that makes sense and helps to bring the planet into a better place. That's a real roundup. But
I think it's important to point out we try to do this as sensibly as we can. We're not throwing bombs and trying to create all kinds of nonsensical attention. We want it. We want the truth. We want to present it truthfully, and we don't have time for bullshit. Let's be sensible about it. And we're respectful of others for the most part, and we are open minded, and we take into account everybody's view as best as we can. And there is so much insight that David in particular offers, and Wayne and everybody. You know, it's just it's been a remarkable experience, and I hope it will continue and grow and grow and grow and grow. That's what I'm hoping for, because it's definitely worth that.
We've had a lot of different flavors, I consider the whole family over at Roundtree and the gentleman I work with on the air here. But including Ruth Ann Martifeo and Ira Martifeo, which is a sister to these radio shows here, I consider all of you family. And it's funny, some of us have met. I know that Tricia and Oso have met with Stella. And David, have you hooked up with anybody?
No, I haven't actually met anybody. I would like
it would
to,
be wonderful for all of us to meet somewhere, but it's since we're so geographically diverse, it's hard to achieve that. But I just want to point out, too, none of us are sellouts. That's important.
That's true.
You haven't guessed it yet.
we do come from a full range. I mean, Mike Stimson is part of Masthead over there, and he's a Canadian writer, and he's a writer by living. And he can get pretty radical, but he's always a target with his information. Everyone who's posting at Roundtree 7 is very on target with the information they post. And then I think it'd be really, really wonderful to anchor it all further with the heart. And the heart usually comes from the writing, I think,
Oso.
A lot of times of Oso.
Yes.
He's
truly unique. There's nobody like him in the blogosphere. He's incredible.
That's right, yeah. I think he captures the spirit of who we want to be.
I do, too. And he demonstrates it. We're lucky to get him when he calls in today because, generally speaking, on weekends, Oso is out in his community assisting whatever campaign is going on, planting neighborhoods.
Yeah, he's an incredible activist.
He is, but all of us are to a certain degree.
We all do our things in different ways, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's many paths
that's the beauty
to,
of it.
To a result.
There are many ways to achieve progress, and we're proving that every week, I think, and every day.
Well, and I
started blogging to really just get out what I knew was to be truthful and factual information, which was the total inverse of what even major media like ABC, NBC, and particularly the most egregious Fox News was putting out going into the Iraq war and things like that. Plus, I've fought several environmental battles locally on the Delmar, First District of Maryland on the Eastern Shore there.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to point out as we're moving forward too. There's actually been some additions to Roundtree 7, especially in the last year. We have Brad Holhut has been posting with us. He's people know him as Pinko the Bear. He has a show, was briefly with us, and then he's and now he's with Authority Smashers on Blog Talk Radio. And you can't get much more left of the column than Pinko. He's a great socialist because he teaches you all about socialism. He's a
yeah, and I've enjoyed his input here on the show when a few times he's been on.
He contributes. He contributes the fire in the belly many times.
Oh yeah.
To bringing and he'd be happy to tear the whole damn house down and rebuild it. You got to give him credit for that because that takes a lot of gumption.
Yeah.
What I like about Hebert is he has a finely tuned bullshit detector.
Yeah.
He realizes bullshit immediately, and he'll take the time to go out there and research the facts and not just sort of go with the crowd and allow some meme or something that he looks at the underlying purpose of why someone would put that out, and he explores it. He does
the entire
research.
Big picture.
He does.
You know, he's somewhat like Tom Hartman in that regard, to a certain extent, which is kind of nice because there's so much bullshit out there. And this guy, he does his research, and that's I admire that, and I encourage that.
We have two new callers on the show, and I think one is probably our good brother Oso.
Hey guys, yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Hi Oso, good to hear from you.
Hey Jack.
Happy anniversary, buddy.
And we have someone with the 217 area code. I'm remembering the number, I think, but I'm not sure who it is. 217.
That would be Ra. Yes.
Ah. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Ra.
Hi, Ra.
Era Marta Feo. Thank you for calling in. And
yes.
Ra is posting with us over there at over at Roundtree. So we have quite a collection, and in just about 4 minutes, I'm going to bring Bear and Tricia on with Skype. But until then, I have a question that I would like to ask the writers of Roundtree 7. I'd like to ask you to recall, and the recollection I'm wondering about is, how did we begin it? Oh, so... how did we begin it? What was the thing we wanted most to do?
I think we wanted free expression. I think we wanted to be able to write things or post things without fear of anyone other than the rest of the public not liking it.
There you go.
You know, it's the kind of, there might be some things which might seem too extreme for others or might seem too mundane even, but... the things that we wanted to write, I think we wanted to feel our creativity wasn't impinged in any way.
Right. It's freedom in action.
Well, you know, I've read so many things posted at Roundtree 7 that has changed my heart in so many ways. On, you know, going forward in the last few years with such, there's been a clip of momentum, if you will, politically and globally with events going on. And every time I see a post at, not every time, but many times when I see a post at Roundtree 7, it opens my mind towards, into a direction that keeps anchored back to that initial feeling of we're going to make a difference because we care to make a difference and we're going to tell the truth about it and we're going to excite that in other people. David, can you tell me
why we started it all?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, I think it had to do with a phone call. We were talking, you and Oso and I, and we were sort of discussing about having an opportunity, maybe an opportunity of expressing knowledge You know, and that's our slogan, knowledge to the social consciousness, expressing knowledge that you don't see on the mainstream media. And, you know, exposing people to a point of view that will maybe allow them to open their eyes up a little bit.
Well, in your case, David, you've been very adept at presenting scientific background and a lot of very, very behind-the-scenes knowledge that virtually no other blog or mainstream media show is covered. And
right.
It's been very, especially on Fukushima and things like that, and nuclear energy and drones and everything else. I mean, the columns you've written have been very enlightening and have helped me a great deal, and I know Gwen and everybody else too. So I encourage you to keep it up. It's been great.
Thank you. I mean, even before I started blogging, I'm was sort of a fanatical Cold War historian type. I have, I won't even get into all the stuff I have, but one of my favorite movies is Dr. Strangelove. So occasionally I'll post a story on Round 37 about... facts alone, its own history. So that's the way I try to present that. But I'll throw in some strange stuff too. So,
do you know, one of the most fascinating columns that I think David wrote that has really played out many ways, and I think will in the future still, with what we're doing as far as taking action and demonstrating it in the streets and actionably. Is that column you called, was it called Swarm?
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
is Swarming the Future of Protest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had a guy that was deeply involved in that with the RAND Corporation. Started making comments on that post.
Okay.
And this guy was like the expert on it. And he was making some comments. He made some comments, and I knew he had more information to give, but I'm sure his security clearance didn't allow him to mention anything. But yeah, that was a nice post. I like that.
There you go. I'm not sure if we've counted up how many posts you've made. All of them have been. Really, I can remember you actually started out writing with Dulcy as the mask for your economics post.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
I did that, and I would write either on politics or economics. And then one day there was something that I wanted to write about, a young woman who had died coming across the border, died in the desert, and was trying to think how to frame it, you know, whether I was going to do it from the point of view, from a Mexican point of view looking at the U.S., doing it from a political point of view, maybe a personal point of view, and I decided, why not write a story? I'd never written a story before, but I figured, what the hell? It seems to work.
Well, the human interest you've displayed has been incredible. Keep up the good work, man. It's been I love the change. It's been so different from what you had posted before, and you just kept hitting us with it every week, or often, and it was very good to see.
Thank you.
That's the thing. I mean, you just went right into it. You know, there wasn't any awkward. You know, it's like you've been doing it all your life.
Yeah.
It kind of seemed like I'd never thought that I could, but my oldest daughter writes poetry, and so that gave. I was thinking if I wrote a story, it would help bring us even closer together, and it had that function too. And now I'm sort of that's what I do now.
Well, a lot of pathos and a lot of good human interest in a lot of those posts also. Very good. And, you know, I particularly loved your live posts from the Oakland demonstrations for Occupy. You would occasionally get on there, or the San Francisco ones. They were fabulous, man.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, shutting the port down.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did a wonderful job there. And what you've been doing, a wonderful job ongoing. I know how busy you are out there in the community. Gosh, all of us do. Why don't you, I would really love for you to take a second and tell the listeners out there about your community, because you're an example to the rest of us so out there, what you guys are able to do.
Thank you. Well, what I pretty much do, I work with the Kenneth Harding Jr. Foundation, and he was murdered by the San Francisco police over a bus fare. He was from Seattle. He was in town dropping off some music videos, and Muni was cracking down on people not paying their $2 fare, and the way they cracked down was the San Francisco police went to the remaining black enclave, which is Hunters Point, and also the Mission District, and would arbitrarily pull what looked to be like someone who maybe hadn't paid their fare. It would mean just young black and brown folks. When Kenneth was taken off the bus, he ran across a plaza. There was probably 80 witnesses there, and the police shot him in the back and killed him.
Oh, my God.
Mother,
over a bus fare?
Oh, I'm sorry?
I said, over a bus fare?
Yes, a $2 bus fare.
Wow. In Oakland, huh?
There's a really
awful
video.
Human life is.
Kenneth Harding, if you looked up Kenneth Harding shooting San Francisco, there's a video taken immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
And in addition to the work his mom is doing, trying to get this in the courts, we do a feed in the spot where her son was taken. So every third Sunday we feed the community there, because it's a lot of less fortunate folks there. So we show we care about them. We make sack lunches and whatever food we can gather. And then a lot of us work with other family campaigns, too, who've lost children to the police. So that's basically what I'm
doing. You have a giant heart, Oso, and I applaud you for that. That is incredibly good. What a great activist you are.
Thank you, man.
You got it.
You know, I think it's important, Oso, that you mentioned, too, that you all, a lot of the folks that you work with ongoing, basically, when you began out there, because Jack brought you in under the auspices of Occupy with your community work, but defined the group that you were actually with. You were with the indigenous peoples out there. And
there was a decolonized group. There was actually a group of Native women who basically did work with sacred sites, trying to retain sacred sites, you know, burial grounds and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And they came to Occupy partly to kind of, I guess, bless things and give their blessing, and maybe hopefully too to spread their message.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, a lot of people didn't like the name Occupy because we are occupied. We've been occupied for 500 years.
Right.
And so
good
people
point.
Disagreed with it. Other people thought it was a brand name and we should keep it that way. And it didn't have to be contentious, but when the vote was lost, it became contentious. And what really bothered people was the Occupy folks calling these Native women, who are all religious leaders, calling them rats and COINTELPRO and threats and things. So we pulled away. We were the People of Color Caucus, and we went autonomous away from Occupy, and they did a lot of shady things about us. They would tell activists from other areas that we were a nonprofit who were making a lot of money off of it, and we're a nonprofit in the sense that we didn't have any money. You know, we're all a group of school teachers, furniture movers, techs, laborers who all just tried to work in the community, but we were slammed a lot and set up for things.
Mm-hmm.
And As a result, we kind of, we didn't officially split up, but we all went into your other areas. So we're all still working in the community. But
right. Well, that's the important. You're still actively working in trying to support the community any way you possibly can. And that's the key of it right there. That's incredible. And I wish there were more people like you also.
Thank you, Matt. But hey, you just, there's a lot you can do locally in your own community. There's
yes.
There's,
yeah. And for with the greater expansion of time, people have begun to. We've invited other writers to come on board. And because I'm working the board, is the only reason that I'm interjecting my voice. Really, it should be David saying most of this from my point of view, anyway. We've had other writers come on board, and I
know a lot of people that have joined and then left. You know, that's to be expected. Things change.
It's growth, and one of our contributors is the author of the Menopausal Stoners blog, which is, you know, it's funny. It's really funny. It's witty stuff, but it's life lessons for women and men. And the writer, the author, is a Bears pal here, Trisha P.E. Nolan.
Yes,
hi, what? Trisha.
Hi, y'all.
Hey, Trish.
Hey, Trish.
Good to hear from you.
You with us?
Yeah, I'm here. I just never do this on Skype, and I don't get it.
Hey, Trish, I saw what you written. I hope you can't hear Pinko rattling around in the kitchen. I was wondering if he's just rattling or he's doing something like with pots and pans. Or
he's got some chips and hummus now, so he's eating now.
I love the stuff he does, and especially his music mixes.
That's the other thing that Roundtree 7 is sort of, I think, most of us behind the scenes have been talking about is the wonderful love story at Roundtree 7 between Pinko the Bear, a bear, and P.E. Nolan.
Well, together at last, you know. Both hands on the sword.
Now here's two people who met through the dynamic of the virtual communities we create online, and from opposite sides of the country came together and now are creating a life together in the big metropolitan city of New York.
Yes, that's true. I work at Riverside Church, and they extend benefits to domestic partners. So before too long, we'll be signing papers in a church together. I think that makes you married anywhere, as long as the IRS isn't involved.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, we're all. So anyway, that's how things are going here. He went down. On Friday, you may know that it sort of launched. Friday was the beginning of the demonstration season.
Wave of action, yeah.
The wave of action. Well, I believe it was the day that Martin Luther King was assassinated some years ago, and prior to that, he had delivered the Time to Break the Silence speech. Anyhow, everybody was back down at Zuccotti Park. Aber went, and Dennis Traynor was there. He met Jenna Pope, and hopefully Jenna will be on the Pinko the Bear show before you know it. So that's what's happening in our happy little world.
Okay. That was good. Tell us what went on down at Zuccotti Park. How did that go?
I don't know, Bear, how did that go?
It went slow, cold, and rainy, but tons of people were there, and there were, I don't know, it was a little disorganized. It was like, kind of like, oh, it's almost springtime, let's come out of hibernation and meet down there and talk about what we're going to do. But there wasn't any, like, specific program laid out There were just some different random folks with different causes handing out flyers and then doing a kind of a just talking about whatever their issue was and giving information. You know, on Sunday there's going to be a meeting for this, and on Tuesday there's something we're hearing in the Queens. Anyway, so I met some people, made some contacts, and I'll be getting in touch with them to talk to them more about what we can do. The Light Brigade, the New York City Occupy Light Brigade, they weren't there that day, but we'll be seeing them next week on a Thursday. There's an action for a political prisoner in China at the museum. He's an artist.
Yeah, there's a museum. Anyway, so, but Abra hooked up with the Light Brigade at the, December 5th, when there was a demonstration for a living wage along with the fast food workers. And so Light Brigade is out to deal with this political prisoner from China. Next week, the minimum wage, $15 minimum wage, living wage, people are meeting, I think it's the 12th, and then organizing for May Day.
Yeah, May Day.
And so everybody's getting ready for May Day.
Well, that's incredible. This is a good example of how the Roundtree 7 in particular and all the individuals involved are dedicated to economic justice and social freedom and human rights.
Amen, brother.
This is one of the other dynamics too, and in Roundtree, which has been the occupied, the complete global revolution, as it were. Occupied might not fit everybody's town, city, group, or experience, but something that does fit everybody's experience right now, that's very much part of it, and I'd like to hear what you guys are thinking on this too, is the global revolution. Hello.
That's a big, broad topic.
Explain social media to the global revolution.
I was going to say, I'll start it off with a little interjection here. You know, it's one thing to say that you are pro-corporation and pro for economic growth, but it's another thing to be an enabler and embrace predatory capitalism.
Right.
And, you know, and this is where, you know, a good thing goes too far. You know, I've got no problem with, you know, being able to return a profit on an investment, of be it manufacturing or selling or whatever. But the thing is when you start driving down the middle class standard of life that we once had back in the 60s, 70s,
for the greed and the profit of only a few.
That's exactly where I was going with that.
Gentlemen, you're talking about a failure. Capitalism is a failure.
And very true.
Most people here are most of us are looking for what isn't a failure. What is the solution? I think that from every walk, each one of us here, Oso in his community work, David does much more than anchor the blogs, including the project we have going, the Commons Project Network. David, you're interactive in your community and the way in your job and what you do. You're focused on engineering projects that bring water to communities, clean water.
I actually have a couple of patents. What I do is find ways for cities and towns and areas where they can save in water conservation and ways they can save money. Like there was a project I had up in a borough in New York there that they actually saved enough money that they were planning on laying off some teachers. They saved enough money to prevent that. It was like 12 teachers.
Great.
So, you know, those are the kind of stories you want to hear. Water and infrastructure. You know, water's going to be, I think, much more important than than oil at some point, and be there on the good side of the war when it starts on this. Because there is going to be what they call water wars, where the states are fighting against each other for water rights.
I mean,
especially in the West there. Right. As a matter of fact, Dave, I was talking with a coworker today because I had to go in and do some work. And here in the Ohio, he went home for the weekend, and coming through Wheeling, West Virginia, and on through that northeastern part of Ohio, all the oil, well, actually gas drilling rigs that were just permeating the road for all the fracking that they're doing of this Marcellus Shale. And I made a comment to him. I said, well, yeah, that's all well and good until, you know, it starts polluting everybody's water table who's dependent upon their own well. And he said, well, you know, hey, that's, you know, that's their problem kind of thing. And I said, well, yeah, you know, unfortunately, it's their problem, but sometimes it has to come home before you realize the full impact. You yourself live in that Marcellus Shale area.
Yep.
What are you going to do when your value of your home that you've paid for your, you know, basically all working life is totally worthless now because the well has been poisoned with all the petrochemicals?
Well, that,
it's,
you
a
know,
different
that's
thing when it hits home.
That a lot of the corporations, they feel that, for instance, the water and air and the land around, that is sort of a free community property where they can just do with it whatever they want. And I've always taken the opinion that the people that pollute the water or the air, they're taking from the general population and they're not being compensated for it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. That water and belongs to you, me, and every other citizen in this country.
Mm-hmm.
That these valuable resources are being stolen from people by either corruption of it, by pollution, or some other way. They're being taken without just compensation. And if corporations only understand money, that's how you could attack them. You make them.
Well, to a corporatist, the only morality is cheapness. The quickest way is the best. The least expensive way is the best. And the way to enhance the profits the most is the best. That's all they look at. And that's not enough.
Well,
that's right. For instance, here in Oklahoma, they have a big problem of earthquakes happening. And what happens is this fracking, when they re-inject the fracking fluids, you know, the waste, they high-pressure inject it in these, I think it's like 3,000 or 4,000 feet deep, and it basically lubricates the layers, and it allows these sort of micro-earthquakes to occur, you know, around the 3 to 4, an occasional 5 on the Richter scale. But the thing is, though, is one of the things that's not been addressed is compensation. If earthquake occurs, why aren't these corporations being held accountable to the damage that are being occurred to the homes? You know, if there's cracks or anything like that. You know, people are having to go out and buy insurance. Why should they have to buy it for their homes? Make these corporations have to pay for the resources are taking and the damage that they're bringing out.
There's no accountability because the corporation owns the legislators who would be, you know, pressing them to make reparations. It's as simple as that. Our government is really pretty corrupted.
They're corrupted by corporations that spend billions of dollars in lobbying to enhance legislation, to actually write legislation favorable to corporations and not necessarily favorable to local populations. That's the crux of the matter right there, and that's got to stop. And that's what we're all working to change.
Well, right now, I think
we've just had the Supreme Court. Go ahead.
There's a blur between corporation and government now that I think will just completely go so that you really don't have a government per se. You have a corporation that's leading the country.
We already do.
You have a poor corporatocracy.
Literally.
We already do.
Crony capitalism.
Right. And I want to bring up the fact that the Supreme Court has just ruled that you can spend millions and millions of dollars, turn over $1 million to say, I want you to make laws that favor my $1 million contribution and
the
hell with everybody else.
They've ever made.
Right, the one man, one vote has been destroyed down to $1, one vote. So if I put in $1 million, I have $1 million votes.
Well, we're missing
it's the best
the
democracy money can buy.
Well,
right.
Well, that's pathetic. This has been going on for 100 years or better. Industrialization ushered this corruption into town. And people
but it's really rampant nowadays. It's really pervasive.
Jack, let me finish this one statement. It's been going on since industrialization, and the corporations have owned the messaging on what we know about it. It's just that, and I think here's where this is one of the wonderful things about blogging and our virtual communities and global revolution. All of it ties up because there's another voice. There's another millions of voices now that are addressing this dishonesty. You know, and that's why Roundtree 7 is out there. It's why there's success and a solution in here somewhere, too. This is, of course, just my opinion. But one of my opinions is that we can make a dent in these corporations once we begin to educate one another. And we know that obviously people are figuring it out because of all the disasters environmentally that are happening every moment of every day right now. It's going that
way. Well, knowledge is crucial and knowledge is power, and we should never forget that.
But the point is that we spend our money without responsibility. If we spent our money the best we could, educated to what these corporations that own whatever consumer goods we're purchasing, we can dent them that way. It just constantly gets under my, it gets up my ass a mile when I hear somebody say, I got to go to Walmart, you know?
Yeah.
And they're very.
Maybe we should start a new blog and call it Boycott International or something and feature items that, or feature companies that should be boycotted and why.
Right. I did see where Walmart is now trying to counteract that by saying that they are going to be more proactive in purchasing from U.S. manufactured goods to put in their stores. Now, we're going to find out how much is rhetoric and how much is slinging bull.
Well, it's a bunch of bull, let's face it. And if they really wanted to be creative and proactive, they would start raising the wages of their very exploited workforce.
Exactly.
I'd like to ask Tricia, as a teacher, how she can make choices that make a difference to how much power we give to corporations that have corrupt the leadership. If she has an idea, I'd love to have her idea on that. Tricia,
yes, ma'am. I think that it's tricky. The whole boycott thing is tricky because so many things are intertwined. Like you don't know, try to find out everything that the Koch brothers owns. And one of the ways I look at that is that given that they own the patent on Lycra, and Lycra is in almost all of our underpants, it's really like the Koch brothers have the entire country by the short and curly.
Yes.
In terms of a boycott, I don't think it works so well like it used to in the olden days. I believe, by which I mean in the 60s, I think Gwen is right. There's no reason to walk in a store like Walmart, especially when you can, anytime there is a chance to go to a local mom and pop shop, you should do it. And that's just it. And then, but for what I teach with the kids, we start in the beginning, is let's repurpose and reuse things. For example, in our classroom, and I'm with two-year-olds, and we used bottles that were, I think they're for coffee mate or something, but anyway, it's a plastic bottle with a red lid, a nice thing, and we fill it with our temper paint. It lasts us for 2 years, and it's much easier than lugging the jugs around. And so in little ways, like we use for paint palettes, the plastic egg cartons. And so when you're demonstrating from the beginning, like, hello, we don't have to buy something new. We can use what we have. One thing I've pulled in since going to Burning Man is leave no trace. And that's as simple as pick up your own damn mess. And I have told parents that if they want to raise another crop of BP executives, then go ahead and pick up after your kids. But you should be teaching people to clean up your own mess. We are not here to make a mess and leave it for somebody else, which is what
that point.
You know, if you start with them early, then they get it. And, you know, Leave No Trace has been around a long, long time. My son learned about it out with Knowles, but I think it goes back to from before the national parks were around. A concept in Girl Scouts that we used to always say, never let it be said, and said unto your shame that all was beauty here until you came. So if you're getting into how we treat each other in community and how we are good stewards of the land, like even the fucking Rockefellers were stewards. Well, they may have been ripping it up and exploiting everybody to death, but they still wanted to have land. They wanted to be able to use it in future generations, not just commit genocide like the companies do today.
Well, your point about community and neighborhood is very important and shouldn't be overlooked. It's very important to start right at the grassroots level in the individual neighborhoods.
Well, and in your individual kitchen, and that is where you can make a difference. It's very easy to look out and say, well, they already bought the Supreme Court, and Jenny Thomas and Clarence are in cahoots to squash single-payer health care. You know, fuck Obama and whatever with that thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you've got so many, you can look out the world and say there's so much against us, and even if we succeed, climate change is going to have us all killed in 40 years, so let's just go back to bed. And some days I do go back to bed, but other days we're in the, you know, you can start at your own kitchen table.
I have a question for Oso. I understand that Governor Jerry Brown is allowing fracking in California, in upstate California?
You know, I haven't been paying too much attention to that, but the way Jerry Brown kind of went back to his moneyed roots, yeah, that's what I hear. He's,
yeah, too bad.
You know, California is really no better than anybody else, no other state when it comes to money talking.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That's
well, the fracking. Yeah, it was known that the gas reserves here in the United States far exceed anything that Saudi Arabia has in oil reserves, and in the thought mindset of divesting ourselves from being dependent upon the instability of Middle East supplies, the changing of the type of fuel to generate electricity, maybe even power cars, things like that, would have to be the homegrown wealth of natural resource, of the natural gas. Unfortunately, there's the downside.
Everything we have here in the country, all are natural resources. I mean, fracking won't get us anything if you can't drink the water.
Well, that's a very good point. But like I said, it's that short-sighted thing of let's hurry quick, divest yourselves because things are going to hell in a handbasket, and hopefully we can then, you know, find some way of cleaning up the water or desalinization on the coastal areas and things like that. It's, you know, it's like we'll do this first and then we'll address that problem when that happens, almost mentality.
Well, short-sighted is the key term. That nails it right there because it is short-sighted, and the devastation that fracking will create and has created is terrible. It's beyond measure, and it really shouldn't be allowed. People have got to come to their senses, and they can't just grab at straws like it's the last day on Earth. You know,
California is the only entity, not just state, but entity that doesn't charge an oil severance tax, meaning you need to sever oil from the land. Even Alaska under Palin, I think, there's some 10% or 20% tax. Yeah. So in other words, you know, in Alaska, Palin was able to come up with billions of dollars to fund things. We could easily do that here. Nobody would touch it except for Luis Rodriguez, who's running Green Party. Cindy Sheehan probably would too. She's running for governor here too. But they just want to institute the type of oil severance tax which every country, even every other state that produces oil, can do.
Yeah.
Billions. But, you know, they have too much control.
Well, and the cheapest way is the best in their mind, and they don't want to relinquish that. They want to keep it going as cheap as they can, and it's short-sighted and it's dangerous, and it's devastating to their communities.
Can anyone count the amount of shale oil spill accidents and oil spill accidents that have happened in the last month?
When we spoke about that with the nuns, I had a list of how many hundreds of thousands of gallons of this toxic waste that was, you know, seeping back into, because they would try to recover it, put it in a holding pond, but it was just like that.
Events that have happened in the last month. There have been several events that have occurred in this last month. And the only way you hear about it is if you're looking at, you know, alternative, what we now know as alternative media.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's very
Democracy Now and things like that.
I mean, you know, everybody's out looking for a plane right now. That's the big news for the last three weeks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, right. Never mind. Go ahead, guys. I can't think of her name now.
Well, you know, another thing I have against fracking is that it delays making the responsible decision for the long term. You know, I feel that solar is the way to go. Long-term
I agree.
Solution.
I agree.
Yeah. Let's face it, the sun goes out. It doesn't matter if we have energy anyway. So
solar combined with wind.
And, you know, Germany is going that way, and other countries are going that way, but fracking, it produces a short-term economic boom. It allows
the quickest way is the best.
To have the numbers that the president's seeking. And it's a Band-Aid on you know, something that's going to turn out to be a Ebola.
Oh, big time.
Well, let's take also, too, that we haven't brought up here, but also really needs to be considered because it's going to be a mass extinction kind of an aspect is the amount of CO2 we're still putting in. Natural gas is still a hydrocarbon fuel. You burn off the hydrogen, the carbon monoxide gets up in the atmosphere, joins together with the oxygen to create the CO2, and all we're doing is just keep expanding upon a problem that we've already know is coming down the pipe.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Very deadly.
I have a question for contributors here, and I'd love to start with you, Oso. What do you think is the solution? What for as us as individuals? What's the solution? What do we do? I know Trisha's actually told hers, but what would you say is yours?
I think just to work local. To work local if you can, because when we look at global warming and warfare and money and politics and crony capitalism, it all seems overwhelming. And on the individual level, it certainly is. But at least on the personal level, you can do some things. You can, you know, there may be shelters. There may be something you can contribute. You can. There's a lot you can do, and it feels good to do it.
Yeah.
And at least you do see a result, even if it's just somebody's belly full and a smile on their face, you know?
Right.
And I think
wouldn't have occurred had you not taken the time to do that, and that's the key point.
Yeah, it's easy to get involved. There's people who need volunteers, and, you know, it's best if you go in there without any cause other than wanting to help somebody.
Right. Good point.
Yeah. Trisha.
You feel good about yourself.
Yeah. Sorry, Oso. Go ahead.
No, I just that's all I could really say. It's you know, we could talk about things like third parties or revolting, but again, that involves a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Whereas you can do stuff and you work with smaller groups, and those smaller groups can expand into other things too. You know, you meet other people and they're doing things. Maybe they're working, who knows, on something to stop fracking locally maybe. Mm-hmm. And then you can get involved in that too, and they'll see what you do. So I think local work is the key to making any type of change at all.
And it all feeds upon itself too, and that's great.
Right. Let me interject here, Jack. One of the things that comes to my mind, you know, what Dave is talking about, or was that Oslo? Anyway.
That was me. That was me right now, Oslo.
Okay. You know, you have just in economics, you have micro and macro. What you were talking about at the local level is a very good micro economics attack on it. But then we can also have the macro aspect of, like, I can't think of his name, but he's the guy who invented PayPal, and he's doing the Tesla car right now. And he's changing the rules of the automobile industry. Instead of going to local dealers with that middleman markup, he's wanting to set up stores and sell direct. Right now they're talking about that in Ohio. The car industry doesn't want him to do that, and that's like, I can't see, if you want to embrace capitalism, and that's what you're all about, you know, why can't this man set up a store and sell his product through the store direct from the factory? Plus two, he's very much into the solar energy aspect, where basically you pull your car up into a parking lot, it's got solar panels, you know, as almost like an awning over it, and while you're at work or in grocery stores or shopping or whatever, you're recharging your car via the sun. So, and he's also, the big cost of car, the electric car right now are the batteries. So he's concentrating on the mass production of these lithium batteries to bring down the cost. The guy is, he's an engineer. He was a young kid from South Africa that
Elon
had these
Musk
visions. Go ahead.
Elon Musk is his name.
Oh, thank you. And then he also, you know, started building rockets, and he's the only private entity that's supplying the space station via his own rockets. I mean, what mind-boggling aspect is that? As an engineer that's so forward-thinking, he's left, you know, people aren't even a close second to him in his visions. This is the macroeconomics that has to be embraced and addressed upon and hold up as evident, you know, as something to emulate.
Wait. You know, there's one other thing I could say on the micro level that the folks in Poor Magazine are doing here. And what they're doing is on some land they were able to buy very cheaply. It's in deep east Oakland, which hasn't been gentrified yet. And they've been clearing the land, putting in gardens, and they're planning on putting up straw bale housing and room for 4 to 6 families to move in on the property. Also, hoping to make it a police-free zone, meaning you agree not, you know, you get the neighbors to all agree, don't call 911. And there's various groups like the Black Riders who would help. They're walking security. There's a People's Community Medics who can help, too. So it's sort of like, it's essentially, you might call it like at a, not even a village level, but sort of like, I guess, a mini village level to do this. And if it catches on, it proves it can be done.
Well,
and
that's
they're doing.
That's the example, gentlemen. I have to. We've got like 60 seconds left of live time, and I would like to thank everybody who's called in, and of course the contributors and the ongoing energy of Roundtree 7.
Yes.
You don't have to stop the conversation completely here. We can run over with it'll come up on the podcast. But I did want to thank everybody for bringing some contribution to this and to acknowledge Roundtree 7 and also – the baby sister that has been created too, which is the Commons Project Network, which is a posting
yes.
for
everybody keeping pushing forward. That's the key.
Absolutely.
Thank you, gentlemen. So
thank you, Glenn, and everybody.
Yes, thank you, everybody.
We are going into overrun here, and people are just locking in. You were saying something. You were saying something about Poor Magazine, Homefulness, which is
right.
really great. I would love it if you would explain real briefly about Homefulness because people aren't aware.
It's a project where, and the Homefulness folks could, of course, describe it a lot better than I can. I just kind of help out with labor there. But what they're doing is on a very small scale, providing an almost self-sufficient living space people in poor areas, putting them straw bale housing, so it's very affordable, on land which they've bought, growing their own food. They've got a thing going too where sewage and trash can be recycled to provide energy. And
yes.
all these things they've looked into and they're making work. And they've gotten the right permits so that they've had legal help, pro bono legal help, to get the right permits. So the city can't just come in and city of Oakland can't just come in and shut them down. And so their plan is, again, like a safe living space that can be done on a block level or even a part of a city block level.
I noticed, too, that the Poor Network in Oakland there, your Homefulness crowd, has also worked to help keep the elderly from being evicted. There's just
yeah.
so many projects that you guys blow me away. You really do. You ought to be a template for communities all throughout the country and beyond, really.
There's a lot of gentrification going on here, too, so we're, you know, they're fighting that, and a lot of local folks are jumping in because essentially it's not that people need a place to live, but rather there's developers who feel they have to hasten getting the people out so they can make a profit. You know, I mean, sometimes, the demographics change, but if someone has to speed up demographics and gear them towards the wealthier and to use things like gang injunctions and stuff to force poor people out of their homes so that developers can make a profit, it sucks, and people have to fight back, and they are fighting back.
That's great. That's really absolutely beautiful. Thanks to all of you for being with us today. I know you're still on, Wayne. And Tricia,
yep.
you and a bear still out there?
We are indeed.
I haven't heard anything from Pinko. He's kicking back, huh?
Well, he is now that he's, he's listening from the corner and looking at one of his projects over there on his computer. It's sort of how we've settled in one room with two computers is what we do. But,
like old people reading the paper.
Yeah, except that I have learned about since I've gotten mixed up with this Pinko Commie Socialist over here is that, when you talk about what can we do, I do think that what we do on a local level, like what OSO does and what Iber does and what all of us do just in our communities, is a great thing to do to make you feel better in the moment and, so you can see yourself in the mirror and think that's all right. But, there's a lot to be said for seizing the means of production and
yeah.
just breaking that system, because it's the system, and what's worked from, I've learned from Eber and just a history of labor movements in the last couple of centuries, is what happens is you have to shut them down. And whatever amount of money the 1% has, we outnumber them dramatically. And that is why they have turned the police force into a paramilitary organization, because they know we have power, and they're trying to keep us from recognizing that by keeping us isolated. We've jumped over that wall in the internet to come together as Roundtree, and in the ways that we've found each other. But you can seize the means of production and make it stop. Just general strike. It's worked in the past. It will work now, but it's going to take 2 years to get the message out, or however long. It has to be a coordinated effort. I can't just walk out and say, okay, today I'm going on strike, then I'll be fired. But if everybody does it, that's what solidarity is. And it's not a dirty word, solidarity, no matter how many generations we've worked on union busting in this country.
I was going to say, union is not a four-letter word.
Yeah, no kidding.
IWW, baby.
Well,
I'd also like to say,
Governor did the deal with Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Right.
Isn't that outrageous?
No, I saw that, and Aver's been following it, and there was some clause written into the paperwork from the beginning of those negotiations in Tennessee with VW that the union organizers couldn't even talk to people.
To the new hires.
The new
hires. There was a poison pill in it, and I've got the actual language from the bill that somebody sent me, and it was a contract. It was a shitty contract for the workers, and that's part of the reason people voted against it. It was a shitty contract. The other part is because they were propagandized or bought off by the ruling class fucks. So you had two types of people voting against it. The only people who probably voted for it were the ones who didn't read it and just assumed it was a good contract.
But nevertheless, Volkswagen not going to put any more plants in that area if they can't be union.
Exactly.
So, they can contribute as much millions to whatever campaigns they want, like this governor in Tennessee, and hopefully that'll be investigated and further things will be uncovered. But maybe they'll go up north next time and get a union. But a union is a good idea, and he talks about it wherever we go. Like, we were just at the bank, and he wanted to make sure that they were unionized. I mean, he'll bring it up everywhere, and that's another thing that you can do on a local level is just say the word union, say the word strike, and say the word organize, and let's not be afraid to join in solidarity and stand up.
You can get a lot of people agitated.
He's in the background saying, agitate.
Yeah.
Now, and I'll be, and he'll encourage me to be a little Norma Ray one day. But, it's true. That's the only power we have is to stand together in solidarity and just say no.
Yep.
The unions have been busted all through the country, and people are trying to reestablish them. It's like putting your hands out in the onrush of the river running over you.
But sometimes when you stick out your hand, somebody else grabs yours.
Right.
And that's just go out on the limb and say it, and somebody will join you.
Agreed. Yeah. Be the pebble in the pond. Yes.
Yeah, that's all you can do.
And that brings us to why I think we all began at Roundtree 7. David Oso, it's the pebble in the pond. Huh, guys?
Yep, pebble in the pond.
Rocking
pond. I really want to thank you all for joining us. Does anybody have any parting comments tonight?
This was a great show. Thank you, Gwen. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thank you, Gwen, and thank you, David.
You're welcome. It's not really me. It's everybody that made this. So, I can't take any credit.
I really want to put in a huge end of the tale here about the Commons Project Network. It has the potential to bring a lot of people together to share information and to be a lot of pebbles in the pond. So Commons Project Network, for anyone listening in, is a place you can go online. It's thecommonsprojectnetwork.com, and you can find the posting from several different bloggers up there too, but basically it's a lot of radio shows also that offer you insight, information, truth, inspiration.
Knowledge, right?
To the social
Absolutely. Knowledge is power.
That's right.
Knowledge to social consciousness.
Very good. Very good. Well, Gwen, I will sign off, and I guess my closing statement will be, people may not remember your name, and they may not totally remember what you said, but they will always remember how you made them feel. And on that, I'll say good night.
Very nice.
I will talk with you next Sunday.
Very good. I look very much forward to it.
I'm going to have to check out too, Gwen. So, anyway.
I know Oso is on his way, and Aber and Tricia, thank you. All of
you. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
And that would be the conclusion of our show this evening. Thank you for listening in. This has been the Sunday Show on Here Be Monsters. We are sponsored by Roundtree7.com, and that's the number 7, and thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. Please check us out. Okay.